Chapter 22. One Eye led the pack horse. This made him very proud. Through tall grass, mangrove swamp, and thick hot jungle, then through white coral sand and the curving stems of palm trees, they came at last to the sea. Nova Sofala was a fort with brass cannon and thick walls. The sea beyond it was muddy brown from the estuary that flowed into it. The sentry at the gate said, "Madre de Dio," when he saw Sean and took him to the commandant. The commandant was a small man with fever-yellowed face and a tired, sweat-darkened tunic. The commandant said, "Madre de Dio," and shot his chair back from his desk. It took some time for him to realize that, contrary to appearance, this dirty bearded giant was not dangerous. The commandant could speak English, and Sean laid his problem before him. For a certainty, he could be of assistance. There were three Jesuit missionaries in the fort, freshly arrived from Portugal and eager for employment. Sean could take his pick, but first he must bathe, eat dinner with the commandant, and help him sample the wines that had arrived on the same boat as the missionaries. Sean thought that was a good idea. At dinner, he met the missionaries. They were young men, pink-faced still, for Africa had not yet had a chance to mark them. All three of them were willing to go with him, and Sean selected the youngest, not for his appearance, but rather for his name. Father Alfonso had a heroic ring to it. The Jesuits went early to bed and left the commandant, the four junior officers, and Sean to the port. They drank toasts to Queen Victoria and her family and to the President of Portugal and his family. This made them thirsty, so they drank to absent friends. Then to each other. The commandant and Sean swore a mutual oath of friendship and loyalty, and this made the commandant very sad. He cried, and Sean patted his shoulder and offered to dance the dashing white sergeant for him. The commandant said that he would esteem it as a very great honour, and furthermore he would be delighted. He himself did not know this dance, but perhaps Sean would instruct him. They danced on the table. The commandant was doing very well until, in his enthusiasm, he misjudged the size of the table. Sean helped the junior officers put him to bed. And in the morning, Sean, Father Alfonso, and One Eye started back towards the mountains. Sean was impatient of any delay now. He wanted to get back to Katrina. Father Alfonso's English was on a par with Sean's Portuguese. This made conversation difficult, so Alfonso solved the problem by doing all the talking. At first, Sean listened, but when he decided that the good father was trying to convert him, he no longer bothered. Alfonso did not seem put out. He just went on talking and clinging to the horse with both hands, while his cassock flapped about his legs and his face sweated in the shade of his wide-brimmed hat. One Eye followed them like an ancient stork. It took them 2 days back to One Eye's village, and their entry was a triumphal procession. Father Alfonso's face lit up when he saw so many prospective converts. Sean could see him mentally rubbing his hands together, and he decided to keep going before Alfonso forgot the main object of the expedition. He gave One Eye a hunting knife in payment for his services. One Eye sat down under the big tree in the centre of the village, his own thin legs no longer able to support his weight, and the knife clutched to his chest. "Halubi, you've had enough of that. Come on now." Sean had not dismounted and was restlessly waiting for Halubi to say his farewells to three of the village girls. Halubi had displayed traditional Zulu taste. All three of them were big-breasted, big-bottomed, and young. They were also crying. "Come on, Halubi," What's the trouble? Nkosi, they believe that I have taken them for my wives. And what made them think that? Nkosi, I do not know.
Halubi broke the armhole that the plumpest and youngest had around his neck. He snatched up his spears and fled. Sean and Alfonso galloped after him. The villagers shouted farewells, and Sean looked back and saw One Eye still sitting at the base of the big tree. The pace which Sean set was at last telling on Alfonso. His verbal spring tide slackened, and he showed a measure of reluctance to let his backside touch the saddle. He rode crouched forward on his horse's neck, with his buttocks in the air. They crossed the mountains and went down the other side. The ground levelled off into the Sabi Valley, and they rode into the forest. On the ninth day out from Nova Sofala, they reached the Sabi River. It was late afternoon. Flocks of guinea fowl were drinking in the riverbed. They went up in a blue haze of whirling wings as Sean led his party down the bank. While the horses watered, Sean spoke with Halubi.
Do you recognize this part of the river?
Yes, Nkosi. We are 2 hours' march upstream from the wagons. We held too far to the north, coming through the forest.
Sean looked at the sun. It was at the treetops.
30 minutes' light left, and there's no moon tonight.
We could wait until the morning,
Halubi suggested hopefully. Sean ignored him and motioned to Alfonso to mount up. Alfonso was prepared to debate the advisability of moving on. Sean took a handful of his cassock and helped him into the saddle.